Francis Leach here on a Saturday morning with our digital sports guru, Sean Callan, and each week joins us about sport in the digital space. How are you, Sean?
I'm good, thanks, Francis. Yourself?
Not too bad. Real interesting topic you bring to the table today, and that's ticketing and how maybe an example from the entertainment industry could revolutionise the way ticketing is done in the world of sport.
Yeah, well, ticketing's sort of been a bit of a slow burn from a digital space, with obviously a lot of old or established players is probably a better way of putting it, still trying to grapple with the digital technology and everything. And Louis C.K., who is a
very funny man.
Very funny man, a comedian in the States. And if you actually follow his Twitter account, you know, it's not suitable for work is probably one way of putting it.
He's quite happy. Small eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a good article there where it said, you know, Louis C.K. insults his fans. And you know, too bad Brock McLean didn't get the same memo, but pretty much fans just tweet him saying, "Hey, insult me, please," and he replies back, insults him in the worst
almost
possible
fashion.
Almost
like Monty Python, I'm here for an argument.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, he's engaging with his fans. He's starting to understand the digital space. He's also starting to understand from a comedian's point of view how he can control his work product and control his image. You know, online, he's not sort of selling out to comedy channels and those kind of things. So he's done a few innovative things, but this week he announced a concert tour of the United States. And normally that would mean, oh, here's the dates, you know, here's where you can buy all the tickets. And, you know, in the States, it's a very different ticketing market where they've got ticket brokers. We would call them scalpers.
StubHub.
But they've also got people that will, you know, they'll release the tickets. The ticket brokers will snap up a lot of them. And then they'll start reselling them with a little bit of upgraded price and everything like that. So rather than selling them through traditional means, he's sold them all for a flat rate of $45 from his website. So
directly
to the fans.
That's interesting because previously there'd been a sort of vertical integration of venues and Ticketmaster type organisations so that the ticketing organisation owned the venue. So if you wanted to play at Madison Square Garden, you had to go through, say, Clear Channel, whatever it is. You couldn't do that. You couldn't sell your own tickets because the owner of the venue owns the ticket distribution.
So I don't know exactly how he's gone and hired the venues or whether he's going to be playing at scout halls across America. But yeah, he's effectively said, look, I'm going to sell all the tickets. So, the thing is that he gets the relationship with the fans, he gets the data, which is again, a big play in all everything digital marketing. And he gets to offer the fans a set price cause he takes out all those ticketing and booking fees and the markups that the ticket brokers put up on the tickets. So, he did the same thing with a video content where he sold it for $5. You know, so here you go, guys. I'm testing this thing out. Here's a hot video of one of my shows. He paid for it all, charged it out for $5, and he made an absolute bucket load of money selling it for $5 because the fans went, "Yep, I want that. It's only $5." There was no, 30% cut to iTunes. There was no distributor fee to DVD players. There was no, so he's really changing up the market. And so it's a matter of, will teams be able to extract themselves from these, ticketing deals that currently, again, they're tied to venues. So if you go to MCG with one vendor, if you go to Etihad, you're with another vendor. If you go to other stadiums, they're all aligned with ticketing deals. So as these ticketing deals expire, I think that's where both venues will have the flexibility, and potentially the clubs will also have the flexibility. So some of the things that we're seeing from a ticketing point of view, one is dynamic pricing. So the ability for teams to dynamically price, if not the whole stadium, but sections of the stadium to make it more appealing.
One other way that could be used, and I know as an Arsenal member, an Arsenal fan, that if you are an Arsenal member, you can... I'm not a reserve seat holder. I'm an Arsenal member, would like to be, but I can't be because they're very tightly held. You can put them up via the Arsenal website to other Arsenal members who are on the waiting list to actually, so if you're not going to go to the Fulham game because you're going to be somewhere else, you can actually sort of sublet it for a week.
Yeah, so that's effectively re-ticketing.
But officially re-ticketed through the club to facilitate other club members who are genuine fans getting access to those seats.
So that's a big one. Like the San Francisco Giants do that as well. They had a bit of a... had a decision to make from a season ticket point of view. Now, a lot of the teams, like in the AFL and NRL, are offering partial game packages, because the MLB season is how
162 games.
So it's 81 games to turn up to. So in this time poor world, it's very hard to say I'm going to turn up to 81 games.
It'd be nice, but
it would be nice. But the thing is,
you probably need to get a life
when you do get to that renewal form and you go, oh, hang on, I only went to 60 or went to 40 games. You would go, well, is it really worth it? From a point of view. And so the San Francisco Giants, rather than saying we're going to offer partial plans, which may have eaten into their season ticket base and people would have downgraded most likely, they said, no, we're going to stick it. We're not going to offer any season partial plans, but we're going to offer this re-ticketing option. So they have the same thing where you can say, oh, Francis, you want to go to the game? Hang on, I'll just open up my phone and effectively email you the ticket. The Giants will get a clip of, $2 to transfer the ticket or something like that. If you want to give me $20 for the ticket, you can, or I might be a good guy, just give it away and be happy that my ticket's been used. You've got a full stadium, you've got fans that are happy to renew. So I think re-ticketing is probably more likely to be coming up, and there are a few teams doing it now. I know West Coast Eagles do it with a full stadium with a waiting list.
They have a sort of StubHub arrangement where you can repurchase tickets?
I think Essendon do the same thing with their reserve seat ticket holders at Etihad. So I think that's one, because everyone gets their AFL season tickets. It's not transferable, but you can hand it to your mate and they can scan themselves in. But then you've got the hassle of, got to get my card back. I've got to catch him before next week to go, today my brother's not coming to the game. So if someone wanted to come, they could use his ticket, but his ticket's all the way in Ballarat.
It's a very, very old transaction now, isn't it?
So I think, I think more likely we're going to be moving towards that e-ticket type of mentality, whether it's, whether it's smartphone technology where we just have a phone.
Well, you can do that at movies now, can't you? You can go to one of the big cinemaplexes and just scan your phone.
Yeah. And the thing is that, the resolution of the iPhone, the Androids are, quite easy to scan. And I've tried it a few times, taking a picture of my card to see if it will scan and it will, as long as it doesn't, reflect too much. But I think that's sort of a place to go because the barcode's only going to scan once. Like you can have multiple people turning up.
Bottom line, do you think in the end it will reduce the cost of tickets to sports events if we follow this model?
I think it'll just...
Cut out the scalper?
I think it will. I think it will cut out the scalper in a sense, if it makes it easier for the both the ticket buyer and the vendor to be able to sell the ticket directly. So I think that, what some of the advances will be, being able to give more flexibility to the ticket holder, rather than saying I've got a season ticket, I can say I've got an 18 games ticket that I can flick and send on, whether I have to log in, whether I can do it with an iPhone or whatever, just the flexibility. And then if you've got this dynamic ticket pricing, potentially you can say, well, it's a 4 o'clock game on a Sunday. It's a tough game to get people to go to, but well, what if you can sit in a premium seat for a slightly discounted
got a podium for us this week?
Well, it's really on the technology. I think dynamic pricing is one. I think this re-ticketing, and then I think something around fan loyalty, I think, is the next thing to say, hey, you've gone to 15 games. We want to be able to offer you something specifically, or you get further up in the queue when grand final tickets come on sale. I think that's something that's also, I guess, going to come down the pipeline from a ticketing point of view. Lots of things happening.
As we start to develop the data, we get more of that information about what people do. Sean, thanks for coming in again.
No worries.
Remind people where they can find you in the digital space.
SportsGeekHQ.com is where they can find all the things we're doing.